precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation, a tried stone. A precious cornerstone, he that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible. The prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord. Blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come. Exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Well, condemn Palestinians, United Nations, but not Israel. Israel should not be condemned for indirectly killing innocents in its attack on Hamas leader. Condemnation should go to the Hamas leader and all those that were behind terrorism. For the Hamas leader for being a terrorist leader and a coward who hid himself behind women and children. Condemnation should go to Arafat and other Palestinian leaders for aiding and abetting terrorism and destroying opportunities for peace and prosperity for Palestinians. Condemnation should have gone to the Western leaders and the United Nations for endorsing terrorists, sponsoring entities, and trying to push Israel into a policy of appeasing its murderous enemies. When a peaceful, freedom-loving country such as Israel experiences terrorist attacks on a weekly basis, with hundreds of innocent people dying, it has a moral obligation to destroy the terrorists and their sponsors, even at the risk of killing innocent people. Civilians caught in crossfire. The Hamas military chief, who was the cause of and the planner of many of the terrorist attacks in Israel, the Hamas terror leader responsible for murdering and maiming thousands of Israelis, was killed when an Israeli warplane had targeted his home. It's too bad his wife and children were also killed. But if we knew in which cave Osama bin Laden is hiding, I doubt that the presence of his wife or wives and children would deter our just retaliation. Well, thank you for these editorial responses to the USA Today. Israeli airstrike kills Hamas military chief. And I could have not said it any better myself, therefore, I appreciate the comments. Now, I want to spend just a few moments showing you from the scriptures what I call collective accountability. And collective accountability because of the consequences of our actions. There is biblical precedence as to when one member of the family sins, especially the head of the family, our whole family will suffer the punishment of her own sinfulness. Take, for example, the family of Korah. And I begin reading here in verse 2 of chapter 16. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses. In other words, they were just plain old rebellious and jealous against Moses. And against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, even one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then, lift up ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. So see, they had this holier-than-thou mentality. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face, and he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his, and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he has chosen will he cause to come near unto him. So, in this attack upon a terrorist, a murderer, God has shown who are his. Verse 6 now, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, chapter 16, verse 6, this do, take your censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. He shall take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you, that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near and to himself to do this, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation and minister unto them. And he has brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, unto thee, and seek ye the priesthood also. You see, the family of Korah, they wanted the cake and eat it too. They weren't satisfied with their position. The Palestinians are not satisfied with the fact that if they would live peaceably with Israel, they would have a lot more than what they have today. But because they rebelled against the Jews and rebelled against authority and rebelled against the nation of Israel, they're going to lose everything. That's right. They will lose everything. I promise you that by the authority of the Bible. But it continues on to say here, and for which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord, and what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? And so the time came that they brought all their censers, and the censer that budded was Aaron's censer. None of the others that brought censers had budded. That mean that Korah's censer, his rod, budded and blossomed and brought forth the evidence that he had the authority. And the consequence of the rebellion of Korah, I want you to hear this very, very closely. Just because you rebel and just because you do a wicked deed does not exempt your family from the consequences of your own action. Numbers chapter 16, verse 31. And it came to pass as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertain unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertain to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Well, what about that? Their houses, their families, and everybody that was associated with Korah in this particular episode went down into hell alive. Now, if that's not collective punishment for one man's sin of rebellion, then nothing else is. This is what happened to that terrorist. Collective punishment, his family, his associates, and all those that actually helped him and promoted him. They're all guilty. Every one of them should have been gotten the same punishment that he got. Or you say, that's a mean, harsh, harsh spirit. Why, if God was a God of love, he would never allow that. Well, we don't judge by man's standards. We judge by God's standards. What seems to be unjust to you is just in the eyes of God. Listen, these people have had plenty of opportunity to get right with Israel. They've had plenty of opportunity. But these people are bent on the destruction of the Jews. They are determined to destroy Israel. They are determined to take over that whole country. They could care less about the hundreds of innocent lives. The innocent Jews they could care less about innocent lives from the other side of the territory. So when something like this happens to them, they make a big stink about it, cannot understand. And not only that, you know what their response was? Revenge. Revenge. The sheikh of Hamas, the head honcho there, who, by the way, was in Israeli jail one time, and they should have killed him too. I'm talking about capital punishment. I'm not talking about murder. I'm talking about punishment. That's right. And the Bible talks about anybody that sheds innocent blood, let no man stay him. That sheikh is responsible for inciting violence and death to the Jews. Well, anyway, what is he saying now? Instead of trying to get his people to make peace with Israel, now he's saying, we're going to have a sea of blood of the Jews. And they're going to pay back for this. Listen, I don't believe it was the Israelis' intention to kill innocent people. But when you look at the Bible, holds accountable to anybody, even going down to the babies, will suffer consequence of the sin of the parents. Even look at King David himself, who had that illicit affair with Bathsheba. And look what happened. His own son, out of that relationship, was put to death by God. God actually killed him. Yes, he got sick. The baby got sick. Well, isn't that a result of David's sin? And aren't these babies and wives and others who lived in that building, are they not the result and the consequences of this Hamas military leader's murderous, sinful actions? Well, you don't believe the Bible anyhow, so it doesn't really matter what I say. But if you believe the Bible gives examples of this very thing. What about the true story of Ai? Now, the next episode in the scriptures, I want to talk about this collective accountability and consequences of one's action because of one fella, Achan. The Israelites were smitten at Ai. And in Joshua chapter 7, the Bible tells us, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Now let me tell you what happened as a result of that. Because of Achan and his sin, the consequences there was that God even allowed his own people to be killed because of the accursed thing that was in the midst of them. But ultimately, the one who bore responsibility, and he paid for it, and he not only paid for it himself, but his whole family paid for it. In Joshua chapter 7, verse 22, so Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel, notice what they did now to Achan and his family, and his not only his family, but all of his possessions, including even the animals. I guess the animal right activists would really be upset about this. And all Israel stoned him with stones, notice, and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. And what about when Egypt was judged by God because they would not let Israel go from the captivity back in the days of the book of Exodus? Now, many of the Egyptians might be listening to this broadcast, and you might say, death to the Jews, death to Israel. Well, I think you have a short memory. You ought to look in your history and realize that God did not hold you guiltless on how you treated the Jews before. You would think that you would have learned your lesson. But if you're an Egyptian who's seeking truth and wanting to know about what's really going on, and you have doubts about all this anti-Jew business, let me just remind you that the collective accountability for Pharaoh's sin and rejection of Moses and rejection of the necessity of allowing the people of Israel to go out of Egypt caused him the death of the firstborn of the sons of all the Egyptian families, even unto the household of Pharaoh. And many would cry today, and everybody would be in an uproar that innocent lives were taken because of one man's sin. But that is the way God looks at it, and there are consequences to our actions. And therefore, nobody has a right to condemn Israel for this attack, because, number one, it was not their intention to kill innocent people, let's put it so-called innocent people, because when you consider the collective responsibility that those have in Gaza, in the Gaza Strip, and in the West Bank. There is a collective responsibility for Hamas to begin with. And so they're all really deserve punishment for backing a terrorist organization. But besides the point, I can understand and I can sympathize with the fact that what did babies have to do with it? Well, what did babies have to do there in Pharaoh's day? What did babies have to do with in Achan's day? What did babies have to do with in Korah's day? Did they not have a voice? Now, God knows what he's doing, and God does know all things. You know, God is a sovereign God, and he does know everything that's going on. And what about the time when God told the Israelites to go in there and wipe out everybody in the land of Canaan? I mean, he told them to wipe out the wives, the children, the animals, wipe them all out. What do you call that? See, God knew that the people would never get right with God. It's been discovered by some of the archaeological discoveries that the land of Canaan was permeated with venereal disease, that these Canaanites were involved in bestiality, and that God's grace had come to the full extent that God said, let their iniquity be filled up, and it got filled up. God did everything he could to turn them to the right way. But as a nation, the Canaanites rejected their only escape from destruction, and that would have been to claim the God of Israel. But so therefore, God used Israel as a means of carrying out his own judgment upon a godless land. This is also happening today among the Palestinians. God is using Israel to carry out judgment against the Palestinians. Now, they cannot see it. All they see is a big bully out there persecuting their people. But that's because they've been fed a bunch of lies. The Palestinian government, so-called government, has fed their people a bunch of lies, has taught their children, has actually come up with a new history that's not even true, a bunch of lies. And what do you expect? Well, it's not going to get better, folks. If you think it's going to get better, you are mistaken. One day the judgment of God's going to come upon this country, the United States of America. And guess who's going to suffer? So-called innocent people. You say they're innocent. God knows better. God knows better whether they're innocent or not. God knows whether they would ever receive him or not. God knows whether these people would turn out to be a people who would receive the truth. God knows. The bottom line is this, folks. God will avenge his people. And the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. But you can escape out of this from a spiritual point of view. And anyway, they may kill the body, but I'd be more concerned about the one that can kill the soul. These people who died without Jesus, they're in hell fire, which is a far worse judgment. Now that's what we really should be aiming at. I mean, everybody's crying about these poor people getting blown to smithereens, but what about hell fire? What about the people burning in hell? Well, you didn't care enough to give them the gospel, did you? And so that's the bottom line here, folks. The bottom line is we're trying, by the grace of God, to rescue people out of the flames of hell fire. And the only way we can do that is before they die, because after they die, it's too late. The Bible says, and as it is appointed, do you know you have an appointment? You may have missed one appointment, but this appointment I'm talking about from the Bible is an appointment you will not miss unless you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. you will still have to meet this appointment, but at least if the Lord would come, you wouldn't have to die a death, although you will have to depart from this life, which is also considered a death in itself, but it will be painless in the rapture. But everybody's appointed to die one way or another. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, it has been appointed, but after this, to judgment. Now, you can escape that. You can escape at least the judgment part if you come to know Christ as your Savior. And the Bible says, as many as received Him, that means as many as received the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah, to them give you power to become sons of God. So, therefore, you can escape and miss that appointment of judgment. And if you are alive at the rapture, the what I call the kidnapping of the bride, the taking up of the bride of Christ, you'll not have to experience the common death of man. You'll escape that too. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. But oh, what a sad, sad day. The Bible says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Will you be cast into the lake of fire? Or will you escape the damnation of hell? It's your choice. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now, we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127 USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that, but if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people. the apple of his eye.
Showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heavens.
This is Dr. K. Daniel Fried, and I'm so glad that you're with us for the remaining portion of the Hope Israel Baptist broadcast. Thank you so much. You are our honored guest. That's right. You might be Jewish. You might be a rabbi. You might be a lawyer. You might be a Gentile. You might be a believer in the Lord. And we're just thankful so much that you are listening. In fact, you might even be an enemy of God listening out of curiosity. And I pray for you to be open-minded, having a teachable spirit, and a willing heart to know the truth. Now, some programs, I'd say, before, we had a series on rabbis who had gotten born again, marvelously regenerated, spiritually born from above. What great testimonies they were indeed. But I want to spend these moments on some Jewish leaders who, as far as we know, did not make a public declaration of faith in Jesus for themselves, but they had definitely a strong opinion about who Jesus was. These were outstanding leaders from the modern Jewish community. These are people, for the most part, that are even today very well respected among the majority of Judaism. And therefore, we would like you to consider now, if we were to put Jesus on trial with these men, what they would say about him. Putting a dead man on trial is pretty ridiculous, you might say. That was a response I received when I told a Jewish friend about an article I intended to write, the one you are reading now. Now, she'd be right if she wasn't wrong about the simple fact Jesus is not dead. True, he was tried, convicted, and executed nearly 2,000 years ago. But that wasn't the end of his story. It was only the beginning. So why put Jesus back on trial? Simply this, to call attention to the fact that Jesus is God in the flesh, come to earth to die and shed his blood for our sins. Christians, of course, already know this, but most of our Jewish friends have never even considered this possibility. Most of them have never taken a close look at our Lord. They know little, if anything, about the most important Jew who ever lived. To them, the New Testament is a Gentile Bible, and Jesus is a man whom Christians have turned into a god. Consequently, most Jews wouldn't consider reading the New Testament, thinking it is a sin, or at the very least, a waste of time. But Jewish people do look up to their rabbis. In fact, I can add to this true report written by a Jewish believer. I can add to this in the fact that surely when you're dealing with Jewish people, they usually will say, I'm going to ask my rabbi what he thinks. So it is true that rabbis are very well esteemed in the Jewish community. These rabbis, they're men of learning and they're scholars. That's why I've decided to put Jesus back on trial as an illustration here, as a lesson, object lesson. This time, however, I've asked a number of esteemed Jewish men from the past to serve as character witnesses. Let the trial begin. Judge, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, we have before us Jesus of Nazareth. His claim of equality with God has been stated beyond question in the historical records written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And if I might add, Josephus, the Jewish historian. We're here today to decide the truth of that claim. And we recognize that if Jesus isn't who he said he is, then he must be either a lunatic or a liar. In other words, he has either been deceived himself or he is a deceiver. In order to determine the truth, we've called together a number of witnesses. Their statements often elevate Jesus above the rank of a mere mortal, but sadly, they never lift him to his rightful place of full deity. The important thing is that the sentiments expressed by some of the most outstanding leaders of the Jewish community do not reflect the derision and hostility towards Jesus that is held by a large segment of the Jewish community today. These men recognize that there was something special about Jesus, the Lord Jesus. With this in mind, let the trial begin. Judge, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, we called a distinguished panel of witnesses before us today to examine the character of Jesus of Nazareth. He claimed to be the Son of God. Was he a liar, a lunatic, or did the way he spoke and lived demand a serious study of the claims he made? We call our first witness Martin Buber, 1878 to 1965. Celebrated Jewish philosopher, he said that Christianity has regarded and does regard him as God and Savior has always appeared to me a fact of the highest importance, which, for his sake and my own, I must endeavor to understand. I am more than ever certain that a great place belongs to him in Israel's history of faith, and that this place cannot be described by any of the usual categories. Witness number two, Shalom Ach, 1880 to 1957, Jewish author of international fame. Jesus Christ, to me, is the outstanding personality of all time, of all history, both as Son of God and as Son of Man. Everything he ever said or did has value for us today. And that is something you can say of no other man, alive or dead. Every act and word of Jesus has value for all of us. Wherever we are, he became the light of the world. Why shouldn't I, a Jew, be proud of that? No other religious leader either has ever become as personal a part of people as the Nazarene. When you understand Jesus, you understand that he came to save you, to come into your personality. It isn't just a case of misty, uncertain relationship between a worshiper and an unseen God. That is abstract. Jesus is personal. Witness number three, Rabbi Stephen S. Wise, 1871 to 1949, founder of the American Jewish Congress and the Federation of American Zionists. He said even if Jesus had not been born unto Israel, even if he had borne no relation to the people of Israel, it becomes of importance for Israel to determine for itself what shall be its relation to the man who has touched the world nearly 2,000 years ago, as has no other single figure in history. Jesus was not only a Jew, but he was the Jew. The Jew of Jews. Whatever the death of Jesus may have been, we believe that his life was Jewish, and we devoutly affirm that Jewish was his teaching. The next witness, Hendrik Kratz, 1817-1891, considered by many to be the greatest of Jewish historians in modern day. Quote, he said, about Jesus, he has carried the highest wisdom to the homes of the lowly and the ignorant of the world. The redeemer of the poor, the teacher of the ignorant, the friend of all that faint with toil and are oppressed with cares, must die on the cross. Over the supreme tragedy, let the angel of sorrow spread his wings, veil thy face, sun, be darkened sky, let the earth tremble and men mourn in tears, the most angelic of men, the most loving of teachers, the meek and humble prophet is to die by the death of the cross. Next witness, Dr. Claude G. Montefiore, 1858-1938, theologian and president of the Jewish Religious Union. Quote, he said, I cannot conceive that a time will come when the figure of Jesus will no longer be a star of the first magnitude in the spiritual heavens, when he will no longer be regarded as one of the greatest religious heroes and teachers the world has seen. Our next witness is Max Norda, 1849-1923. He was a physician, author, and Zionist leader. He said about Jesus, Jesus is the soul of our soul, as he is the flesh of our flesh. Who then could think of excluding him from the people of Israel? Our next witness, Rabbi Kaufman Kalla, 1843-1926, president of the Hebrew Union College in Cincinnati, author and Reform Judaism leader. He said, no ethical system or religious catechism, however broad and pure, could equal the efficiency of this great personality standing, unlike any other, midway between heaven and earth, especially near to God and to man. Jesus, the helper of the poor, the friend of the sinner, the brother of every fellow sufferer, the comforter of every sorrow laden, the healer of the sick, the uplifter of the fallen, the lover of man, the redeemer of women, won the heart of mankind by storm. Jesus, the meekest of men, the most despised of the despised race of the Jews, mounted the world's throne to be the earth's great king. Our next witness, Israel Zengwill, 1864-1926. Famous Jewish novelist. He said, to us, my brethren, in this our day, is given the privilege to reclaim the Christ we have lost for so many centuries. Has not the crucified Christ more than fulfilled the highest and noblest of our greatest prophets? Is not he the incarnation of what the law, the Psalms, and the prophets taught? Constantine Bruna, our next witness, lived from 1862-1937. He, the great German philosopher, he said about Jesus the Messiah, his profound and holy words, and all that is true and heart-appealing in the New Testament must from now on be heard in our synagogues and taught to our children. Judge, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, we've just heard from 9 esteemed rabbis and Jewish authorities. Although none of these men were willing to call Jesus a liar or lunatic, none of them, for whatever reason, called him Lord. So the decision must be yours. Who was Jesus? Now I continue to give forth more witnesses. Once again, I would remind each of you that the testimony we're about to hear comes from highly respected Jewish leaders. Some of the things that they will have to say about Jesus will shock members of the Jewish community. But they've said it nonetheless. On the other hand, you must clearly understand that none of these witnesses ever embraced Jesus as the Messiah, at least to our knowledge. So the decision will ultimately be left to you. Our next witness is Solomon B. Freehoff, Reform rabbi, scholar, and author. He said about Jesus, "Jesus of Nazareth is the most famous name in the world. The Galilean teacher looms as large today as he did centuries ago. Millions praise him, but for widely differing reasons. To some he is divine, the Son of God, foretold by inspired prophecy, born miraculously, who lived and died in order to fulfill his Father's plan of salvation, and after death was resurrected from the tomb and enthroned in heaven as part of the threefold Godhead. Scores of men have believed themselves to be the Messiah and have convinced many of their contemporaries, but those who believe Jesus to be the Messiah have built a great church upon the rock of their belief. He is still the living comrade of countless lives. No Muslim ever sings, 'Muhammad, lover of my soul.' Nor does any Jew say of Moses, 'The teacher, I need thee every hour.'" How true. Let me add that the famous doctor of the law during the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, Gamaliel, which is very well known, even recorded in the Talmud, he had said about those who were Christians and following Jesus, he said, "Refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God." Well, he said that about 2,000 years ago, folks. And guess what? Jesus is alive and well today, and millions have put their faith and trust in his saving power. Now the next witness, please stand up. Ellis Rifkin, professor of Jewish history of Hebrew Union College, had said about the Lord Jesus Christ, "Of these messianic claimants, only one, Jesus of Nazareth, so impressed his disciples that he became their Messiah. And he did so after the very crucifixion, which should have refuted his claims decisively. But it was not Jesus' life which proved beyond question that he was the Messiah, the Christ." Notice what he says now. "It was his resurrection." Norman Cousins, our next witness, contemporary Jewish author, said about Christianity could not exist without the crucifixion. That one event and the witness resurrection that proceeded out of it from the specific and vital crystallizing element of Christian faith. The virgin birth and the miracles led in a straight line to the culminating symbol of Christ on the cross. "He died for our sins" is the cry that keeps the cross alive in the Christian soul and makes the resurrection possible. Pinchas E. Lapid, visiting professor of New Testament studies at West German's Göttingen University, he said that the church was born out of an act of the will of God, which all the New Testament authors called the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. "One thing is certain. Since all the witnesses of the resurrected Jesus were sons and daughters of Israel, since, moreover, he appeared only in the land of Israel, his resurrection was a Jewish affair, which must therefore be judged by Jewish standards if we are to gauge its authenticity. If the disciples were totally disappointed on the verge of desperate flight because of the very real reason of crucifixion, it took another very real reason in order to transform them from a band of disheartening and dejected Jews into the most self-confident missionary society in the world history." Judge, the next two witnesses we will hear come to testify that the resurrection of Jesus has had a positive impact on thinking of some of the leading members of the Jewish community. David Flusser, professor of religious history of Hebrew University in Jerusalem. "I do not think that many Jews would object if the Messiah, when he came, was the Jew Jesus." How about that? Here's another witness, Hans Joachim Schulz, eminent Jewish theologian, said about true Christian Bible Christianity, "The Church of Jesus Christ has preserved no portrait of its Lord and Savior. If Jesus were to come again tomorrow, no Christian would know his face, but it might well be that he who is coming at the end of the days, he who is awaited by the synagogue as by the church, is one with one and the same face. Well, how about that? I end with the famous Flavius Josephus in the Jewish Antiquities. He said, when Pilate, upon hearing him accused by men of the highest standing among us, had condemned him to be crucified, those who had in the first place come to love him did not give up their affection for him. On the third day he appeared to them restored to life, for the prophets of God had prophesied these and countless other marvelous things about him. This is being said by, I believe, the greatest Jewish historian that ever lived. In the Jewish War Part 2, Josephus says, and since in the time of those rulers many followers of the wonder worker aforementioned had appeared and spoken to the people of their master that he was alive, although he was dead, and he will free you from your bondage, many of the multitude hearkened to the preaching and took heed to their injunctions. Josephus said in the Jewish War Part 2, he also said about Jesus Christ, at that time there appeared a man, if it is permissible to call him a man. His nature and form was human, but his appearance was something more than a man. Notwithstanding, his works were divine. He worked miracles wonderful and mighty. And everything whatsoever he wrought through an invisible power, he wrought by word and command. Some said of him, our first lawgiver is risen from the dead, and hath performed many healings and arts, while others thought that he was sent from God. In the Jewish Antiquities, Josephus also says, about this time there lived Jesus a wise man, if indeed one ought to call him a man, for he was a doer of wonderful works, a teacher of such people as accept the truth gladly. He was the Messiah.
Keep his covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, heaven, there is no God like thee in the earth, O Lord God of Israel.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent, that is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God, with sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by his own blood, and call upon him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to his word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by freewill offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your freewill donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or POWDERSPRINGS, Georgia, or GA 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.